Today's date is May 10th, 2006. We are at the Amelia Island Museum of History. We are interviewing Morris Irv McCaffrey. May I call you Mac?
Yep.
Date of birth is September 29th, 1931. Place of birth is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mac's current address is 95159 Spring Blossom Lane, Amelia Island, Florida. My name is Robert Hamer, and I'll be conducting the interview with the assistance of Francis Reininger. Mac, why don't you share with us what your period of service was?
I went into the Naval Reserve in the fall of 1950 and on active duty in the spring of 53, off active duty in the spring of 55, and eventually discharged in 56. And at the time I enlisted, I was a student at Denison University, Granville, Ohio, a very unsuccessful student. I was extremely immature. I was a classic case of someone who should have gone to the service first and college later. So I was not liking college at all. I really majored in beer and dates, and not much studying, fraternity life. So I got my draft, my physical notice to take my draft physical, which I did in Pittsburgh, knew that my days in school were probably numbered. And so I and a whole bunch of other guys from Denison went over to Columbus, Ohio, to the Naval Air Station and enlisted in the Naval Reserve. Quite a few guys from my fraternity and other guys from the campus did that. And so we did that. Became a weekend warrior. They still call it weekend warriors. 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year. And I was assigned to a reserve fighter squadron, VF-693. And I remember praying practically daily that we'd get called up to active duty. I wanted out of school so bad, and I wanted with the airplane so badly. So I eventually did flunk out, and knowing that my draft status was very upcoming, I'd been to a military prep school. I knew what marching was all about, and carrying an M1 rifle, wanted no part of that as far as a military career was concerned, being an infantry soldier. So I requested active duty and received orders to report to the Naval Air Station in Columbus in the spring of 1953, which I did. And so when I got to the initial interview at the base, they said to me, well, can you type, knowing I'd been a college boy? I could, but I said no, could not. I didn't want an office job. So they signed me to the flight line in what they called transit line or transient aviation line. We serviced Navy transient or military transient aircraft. But one of the first things that happened to me on active duty was what the Navy called, KP, the Navy called mess cooking. And mess cooking was the other word for KP, which I did for a month and a half in the summer of 53. And it was a miserable job, although the first thing that happened, my good buddy and I went with me, and we were asked to peel a tub load of shrimp. And I ate probably ate more shrimp that afternoon than the rest of my life because we ate about one of every three we peeled. So we spent the summer mess cooking. And then, interestingly enough, I'll tell you about this fellow who became best man at my wedding. He had an airplane, and I was working the flight line one day, and I saw the sailor over on the civilian side of the ramp fussing with a little airplane, which I knew was a Swift 125, a little silver, low-wing, all-metal, retractable gear plane, and we got to be friends, and Franz took me up and taught me to fly this Swift, just doing air work. I never landed or took off, so we became very close friends, and that summer, he sold his Swift and bought a Cessna 120. A Cessna 120 had a fabric wing, and we spent that summer after work refabricating that wing and refurbishing the airplane to fly it for students, and I learned to fly in a Cessna 120, tail dragger. Never mastered it because I had a very springy landing gear. I had trouble finding the ground in that airplane, but finally we did fly it and had quite a lot of fun that summer. So that's the beginning of my brief naval career. Live in a barracks in a cubicle with three other guys, and it was an interesting experience living in this. But here I was, a college boy from a rather privileged background, I will say, spoiled terribly, very immature, thrown in the lot with a bunch of Navy guys, every rank and status of life, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had more fun, more pleasant times there than I had in college by far. College, everybody was the same as far as I could see. They're all the same. All the same kind of semi-privileged background and so forth. So being with the Navy guys in the barracks in a cubicle with three other guys and working on the flight line and in this transit line group was a totally different experience, and I just relished it.
Did you find, were you inspired by any of the leaders that you had?
I worked for two chief petty officers. CPOs run the Navy. The officers think they run it, but the CPOs really do the running of the Navy. And I worked for Chief Williams, one of the nicest men I've ever met. He was a marvelous guy, World War II vet, finishing his naval career as a reserve on the Reserve Naval Air Station. And he was a peach of a grand fella. He wouldn't order me to do it. He just, Mac, would you do this? Would you do that? And, of course, I worked very hard. I was really pretty good at what I did out there, and I took a lot of pride in it. And the next CPO was a similar personality, delightful people. I liked them very much, and we all got along extremely well. I remember those two individuals very, very clearly. And also, while I was there, I started taking flying lessons from a Navy flight instructor, Vic Heimlich, in Franz's Cessna 140 or 120, and flew that around the summer. And I got pretty good at the air work, as a matter of fact. He thought I was excellent at it. But I didn't proceed with flying while I was on active duty. So I couldn't get in flight school, which I wanted to do because my vision wasn't what it should be. So that was one of the individuals I recall very clearly, Vic Heimlich, Lieutenant Heimlich.
Did you consider your naval experience as a growth experience?
Very much so, growth experience. I came out of a far different man than I'd gone in as a boy. It was a growth experience. Age helped mature me some, but it was a growth experience because I find a great deal of pride in the physical aspect. I love being outdoors. I love working on airplanes. I just relish that. And I did a pretty good job, and I got a lot of pride in it. And I was complimented and so forth upon occasion, and they asked me if I wanted to go to cadets. I said I can't go to cadets because of my eyes and whatnot. Yeah, it was a growth experience. I did a lot of maturing.
Good. Within the Navy system itself, was there any location or some sort of an event you wanted to participate in? Did you want to visit an aircraft carrier? Did you want to be based somewhere? Was there something else that you had for goals within the Navy?
No, I really didn't. I'm not looking back on it, I wish I'd been elsewhere because this Naval Air Station in the middle of Ohio was hardly Navy. Shared the flight line with the civilians. But in retrospect, I might have wished I'd been on a carrier, had more of an enriched, richer experience. But we had a couple of nice trips. We would. I took a lot of hops. I sponged rides in every airplane I could possibly get in, mm-hmm. including backseat of jets called a TV-2, T-33 in the Air Force. A couple of hops in that, which I liked, and so on. We made a few trips to Bermuda, and then in an R-5D, which is a DC-4. Pleasure trips down to Florida, stuff like that. It was interesting. I just relished being around the airplanes.
Now, you mentioned your best man from your wedding. Was there anybody else that you remember or stayed in touch with?
No, just Fran Stone. I still remember him. He lives up in Savannah now. He's a docent at the 8th Air Force Museum up there as we speak, and so we stay in touch from time to time. Became close friends for years. In fact, almost went to work with him after the Navy, after school. I went back to college after my two-year stint was over. But looking back on it, I really relished airplanes, and one of the things I liked the most was what they called yellow sheeting. The Navy called it yellow sheeting. It's every aircraft that's up to fly that day, not down for maintenance, is yellow sheeted, and you got the aircraft and you do a walk around and you have a sheet of paper and you go through a very lengthy checklist, fluids, pressures, start the engine, run it up, so forth. I did that on Corsairs. I did it on SNBs, SNJs, so forth. That kind of thing made me feel like I was halfway a pilot almost.
But, sure,
it was a lot of fun.
Now, did you feel that any experience you had in the Navy got you ready for your career outside of the Navy? Did you?
Well, my career selling steel, no, not really. I just think, they say every man has to have an adventure, and that was my little adventure. And the adventure part, I think, probably was, aside from being on the flight line, working around aircraft, were the people. A brief story, one time in the barracks, I was assigned in a certain section, and it was full of African-Americans. And they were a noisy bunch. They'd come in at night, and we had metal lockers, slamming lockers, and noisy, rowdy, happy guys. and I really grew to dislike that till they moved me to another part of the barracks, which were full of all Caucasian individuals of somewhat lower economic background. Now, those guys were worse, and I learned something from that little exposure to two sets of people far below where I might have been considered socioeconomically at the time. Well, not far below, but different. And also, the two chiefs I worked for, these great guys, I ran into a couple that weren't great guys, tough. They were very tough, hard-boiled characters, bosun mates, CPOs. And I saw a piece of that.
Mm-hmm. How did you find the Navy life for the years that you were in?
I kind of liked the barracks life. Food was I thought was pretty darn decent food. I learned to eat beans for breakfast, which really opened my eyes. I liked the atmosphere. I spent one summer on a school before active duty and lived in a barracks. Learned to iron my own uniforms. Our whites, you get those hard creased edges. Iron uniforms. Walked fire watch at night around the barracks in the middle of the night, and I really liked the atmosphere.
And what would be a fun night or a social night on a base when you were there? Or
well, we had in the summertime we were off duty. I think around four summer hours, around four, nothing to do. We'd have early chow, and then 10-cent beer at the White Hat Club, and I did a lot of 10-cent beers, and then a movie every night. There'd be some movie over in one of the hangars, and we always go to the movie and. Interestingly enough, there were a number of young ladies that would come out to the base and fraternize with the sailors, and more than fraternize upon occasion. That was an exposure to something I had never been exposed to before. excuse me. So, yeah, I liked the atmosphere. I just liked the uniform. I liked being in the uniform. I liked being part of something. I remember a few times thinking, I'd never had a real job before, and I said, I'm really part of something worthwhile. This is a worthwhile thing to do, and I remember waking up one day and saying, this is really something good that I'm doing.
Good.
And the Korean War had ended, I guess it ended early in 54, so I technically was in the Korean War, but obviously never.
Timeline.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the steel business. You went into the steel business. Tell us a little bit about that career.
Well, I went back to Denison, was readmitted to Denison by Dean Smith, who was a dean of men, a more remarkable guy. He let me get back in. And something interesting happened. I had taken a course in astronomy before I flunked out, and I didn't like it. One of the first professors I ran into when I got back to Denison after that, he said, well, Mr. McCaffrey, you have really changed. And that's when I first realized I had changed. But I wanted to be a writer, aviation writer, so I went to Ohio State. Ended up in pre-med, and much too late to enter pre-med, did not get into medical school, interviewed a company called Wheeling Steel, Wheeling, West Virginia. At that time, in 59, steel business was still considered a good business to be in, good little company. So I joined that company with four other guys in a sales class, and really great guys, and began a 35-year career in steel.
Okay. Now, how did you find Nassau County and Amelia Island?
Well, we have three sons, two of whom were living in Jacksonville, one working for his own company, started his own company. Another, third son of mine, was a police officer at the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. He came down to visit Brian, my second son. Like Jacksonville, he was an adventuresome sort, my youngest son, Daniel, and a fairly tough kid, and he joined the Sheriff's Office. So they were both living here. And when Dan and Nancy announced they were expecting twins, and Brian had already adopted a little girl, he and his wife, Kay and I decided we needed to be down here to live. And Brian, my son, had one day said, Dad, and Mom will take you to lunch at a nice place. Took us to the Ritz-Carlton on Amelia Island. That was our first exposure to Amelia Island. And we decided to look for houses, and we looked all through Jacksonville and so forth. And when time came to really find a place, we ended up, long story, we bought a condominium here on Amelia Island, and eventually decided to move down here, which we did in the summer of 2001. We found it when Brian brought us up to the Ritz-Carlton, and one day, having visited our son in Jacksonville, Kay and I were driving home. I said, let's drive through Fernandina Beach one more time and take a look at it. So it was a gray, windy, cold, wet winter day, ugly day, and the paper mill was blowing straight down Main Street. As we drove up Main Street, I took one big whiff of that, And I said, I'm never coming back here the rest of my life, ever. Well, here we are now, all these years, and we love it.
Good, good. What are your interests here on the island now?
Well, I'm in the Civil Air Patrol, inactive as far as flying is concerned. I've helped with various projects. I'm at the Museum of History as a greeter. I do occasional docent job at Fort Clinch, play some golf. I guess that's about it. Just a lot of reading and nothing special.
Before we conclude, is there anything else that you'd like to offer, military-wise or life-wise?
Life-wise, yeah, I've thought about it. I mentioned before. I said that was a classic case of somebody who should not have gone to college right out of high school. I think it's been said many times, people should serve in some capacity, I think, after high school, whether it's military or some national capacity. It'd be good for the nation, might be expensive, it'd be good for the nation, good for many individuals. I've known quite a few guys who went into college, dropped out, flunked out, quit, went in the service, came back and finished up their college successfully, which I did. And I think I learned something there, pretty much. Just the discipline of working on the flight line was good for me. It was hard outside work, all kind of weather, and that taught me something about pride, I think.
Very good, very good. Great interview, Mac. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.